Folks, we live in a sinful world that is running down. We live in the context of the results of sin, death, sorrow, and pain. And if you love this world, you don't love Jesus. That's the love of God is not in you. Yet we as believers are tempted with the affection for the things of the world. But if you love the sinful things of the world, it produces sorrow, pain, and death.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Rachel in Wisconsin. She says, I am enjoying the broadcast today. Thank you so much. And I enjoy the teaching every morning. God bless you. Well, Rachel, God bless you too. And thank you so much for letting us know that you're enjoying the broadcast. And we're so thankful to the Lord that His word is bringing joy to those who listen. Praise the Lord. And also, we're so thankful to those of you who leave phone comments, who leave emails, or send us letters. It is such a blessing to hear how God is using His word. And we're also so thankful for your prayers and support. Without your prayers and support, we could not continue this ministry. So thank you so much to each and every person who prays for this ministry, and especially those the Lord has led to partner with us financially. So thank you so much, and praise the Lord.
Greg, in your message today, you talk about how to find joy in the midst of suffering. And I think for most of us, we don't often connect joy and suffering in the same sentence.
Indeed we don't, Dave. But that's what we're going to see today. So turn in your Bibles with us as we look at Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 26.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
And as they were going to the land, the Israelites were challenged by Joshua to serve the Lord in truth and sincerity and put away the gods their fathers had served. Put away those idols of our hearts and choose this day for yourselves whom you will serve. If it is okay with you to do that, otherwise go back and serve those gods. If it is not okay with you, serve the Lord with all your heart. Samuel shares, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Consider what great things He has done. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. What about in the church? You see, because when we serve Him and obey His word, guess what? He's glorified in the fruit that results. He's glorified in the fruit that results in our children's lives. He's glorified in the fruit that results at our work. He's glorified in the fruit of the relationships we might have as we're going in our going. He's glorified in those things as we use our skills and abilities or the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ. He's glorified. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it. That means to serve, work it out. In serving what? One another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now these are the gifts for the body of Christ here. Whoever speaks, let him speak as it were the utterances of God. That's the word of God. Whoever serves, let him do so by the strength that God supplies. And notice here, so that in all things, God may be what? Glorified through Christ Jesus. If you serve the Lord, raising your kids, depending on Him, abiding in Christ, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. If you serve Him, abiding in Him at your work, relying on Him, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. You serve Him, abiding and remaining in Him in the body of Christ, He's going to be glorified through Christ Jesus. To live is Christ, and to remain on means fruitful labor. Back in our passage. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me. And then notice down in verse 24, yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. There was labor in regards to the Philippians. There was a love. Folks, so many Christians do not understand what it means to live on in the flesh for Christ. To live is to be doing His will for His glory in every area. And if you look down in verse 25, we see some of the results that might come from this. It says in verse 25, and convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for what? Your progress and joy in the faith. Faith in Jesus. If the Lord keeps me here, it's going to be for your benefit that you grow in Jesus, progress and joy. You see, that's what Paul is about. He says, "I'm convinced of this, I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." To live, or to be living, is Christ. Part of that encompasses serving Christ. But don't misunderstand me. It also implies intimacy. It ultimately implies intimacy in that serving, an intimate relationship with Jesus in the context of serving Him. What do we see in Philippians chapter 3? Look at Philippians 3, verse 8. It's not just a mechanical serving of Christ. It's a real relationship with Him in which we're abiding in Him, growing in Him, an intimate relationship with the living God in which we're serving Him. Philippians 3, 8. "More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." Knowing Him. Growing in a relationship with Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Colossians chapter 3. We see that our lives are hidden in Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 3. It's all throughout the Word of God, and we need to be reminded because we get distracted very easily. You wonder how John could write in the very last verse of 1 John. He could say, "Little children, guard yourself from idols." We live for other things than Jesus. Those are idols, by the way. Colossians 3, verse 1. "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Why? For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." When Christ, who is what? Who is our life, is revealed. To live as Christ, it's a real relationship with Him, which is manifest in obeying Him and loving Him and serving Him. Turn to Galatians 2:20. Some of you know this verse. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And what? The life which I now live in the flesh." To live, to be living, right? The life I now live, what I live, my life that I live on a daily basis. He says here, I live by what? Faith in the Son of God. It's a real relationship with Jesus, trusting and abiding in Him and serving Him. I live by faith in the Son of God who what? Who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. To live is to trust and obey Jesus. To live as Christ. The Apostle Paul was not self-centered or self-focused. He loved and served Christ, which was manifest in his love for the body of Christ and his obedience and desire to serve the Philippians. Back in our passage in Philippians chapter 1, notice down in verse 26, we see the results, and we'll come back to some, and I just want to look at it for a second. "And convinced of this," verse 25, "I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Now, the NASB's difficult translation here. Other translations are difficult. Some say rejoice. Actually, the word isn't rejoice. It's boasting. It's what it is in the Greek. And so you could say it this way, literally, so that your boasting may abound in Christ Jesus in me. Your boasting in Christ Jesus for what He's doing through me may abound when I come and see you. That Christ may be exalted. That Christ may be magnified when I come to you again. That your boasting may abound in Christ Jesus. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. Praise the Lord for what He has done. So I believe He's saying that if he stays in the flesh, it's for their progress and joy in the faith, which will cause boasting in Christ to abound. It's all about Jesus and being magnified. That's what the Christian life is about. And if you don't see the Christian life like that, maybe you're not a Christian or you have forgotten why God saved you. We certainly can be distracted. We certainly do forget. Paul was not preoccupied with life circumstances. He was preoccupied with Christ. To know Him and please Him was Paul's chief aim, and this all resulted in the magnification. Is that the same for you? Lord, I want to magnify you in obeying you with my kids. I want to magnify you in obeying you in my work. I want to magnify you in obeying you in the relationships you put me in. I want to magnify you in how I serve. It's about you, and I trust you, and I'm going to abide in you, and I'm going to rest in you because you're faithful. Yet sometimes we can get sidetracked, and that's when we're not joyful, and we need to be reminded so that we can confess and turn to the Lord. Are you sold out for Christ? So many are sold out for Christ right away when they come to faith, and rightfully so, because they see the light. They were in darkness. Now they've been forgiven and saved, but then we can be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So living for Christ, Paul shares here, is ultimately that he would be magnified and glorified as we trust and rely, abide, and serve him in everything. With that in mind, back in our passage, what does it mean that to die is gain? What does it mean to die is gain? Verse 22, but if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose, but I am hard-pressed, I'm hemmed in from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Very much better. Paul's continual desire to be with the Lord, and he says it's very much better. This is what happens when a believer dies. Very simple theology here. He says here, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. To die is gain. It's advantage, it's profit. He says it is very much better. Folks, we live in a sinful world that is running down. We live in the context of the results of sin, death, sorrow, and pain. And if you love this world, you don't love Jesus. That's the love of Father is not in you. 1 John chapter 2. Yet we as believers are tempted with the affection for the things of the world. But if you love the sinful things of the world, it produces sorrow, pain, and death. But for believers, this is not our home. The Apostle Paul makes it clear that to die is very much better. We are delivered from this sinful, sin-cursed world. We are glorified. No more sin, sorrow, pain, or death. And we are with the Lord and with those who are His. It is very much better. We have a theology of death here. To depart for a believer and be with Christ, very much better. Think about that when your loved ones in Christ die. We'll miss them greatly and we will look forward to seeing them again. But it is very much better for them. It is very much better. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And actually, I'll quote that. Turn to Luke 16. I'm going to share 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we are of good courage, and I say I prefer to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. You see, when we die as believers, our souls and spirit, they go to be with the Lord immediately, and our bodies go into the grave. They go into the grave. For the non-believer, their souls and spirits go to Hades, and their bodies go in the grave. Look at Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man, and he habitually dressed in purple and fine linen, gaily living in splendor every day. He wasn't living for Christ, by the way. And a certain poor man named Lazarus, who was laid at his gate, covered with sores, longing to be fed with the crumbs which were falling from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it came about that the poor man died, and he was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. Body went into the grave. And in Hades, he, that's the rich man, lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted. It's far better. He's being comforted, but not for those not in Christ. Notice he says here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed in order that those who wish to come over here from you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, lest they also come to this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. That's the word of God. let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. They're going to acknowledge their sin. But he said to them, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. For the believer, it is far better. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm not going to read that, but you can read it, the Apostle Paul shares what's going to happen for believers. If we die, our bodies go in the grave, but our spirits go to be with the Lord. And when he comes back, we will come with him, and our bodies will be raised at the same time. We will be changed. And those who are alive and remain will be changed also, and will be with the Lord and our loved ones in Christ forever, and therefore comfort one another with these words. It is much better. No more sin, sorrow, pain, troubles. You see, and Paul had the right viewpoint because he realized the sufferings of this life were nothing, not even worthy to be compared. Look at Romans chapter 8. Paul had a right view of life and death. And we can too because we have the scriptures and we have the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, this is verse 17 in the end, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Then notice what Paul says here, verse 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. It's not worthy to even be compared. You're going through suffering, yes. Paul suffered a lot. And he said, it's not even worthy to be compared. To die is very much better. Where we are going is very much better. One last passage on this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the context of this is the Apostle Paul saying, we're almost at the point of death, but death works in us and life in you. We almost got killed, but God's using that. Death works in us and life in you. And he's going to share the mindset behind that. 2 Corinthians 4:15. He says, for all things are for your sake. Could you say that? The way I live is for the body of Christ and other believers, for your sake. Paul says it, all things are for your sake, that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God, God glorified. Therefore, in the midst of the difficulties we go through that brings God glory, we don't lose heart. He says, though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. Back in our passage. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. The reality is, he might be killed by Caesar. And if that happens for Paul, this is much better. Now, for my non-believing friends, when you die, the opposite is true. For the unbeliever, death is not very much better. It is very much worse. Turn to Luke chapter 12. You see, when you live for this life, you're a fool. Because when your life's required, then you're going to have to be held accountable for your sins. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Verse 18. And he said, then, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Come, take ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. In the book of Mark, the Lord Jesus makes it clear, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. To live for yourself, you're going to lose it. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall save it. For what shall a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You'll go into eternal torment if you die in your sin. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. To die is absolute eternal loss for non-believers. But to die as a believer, it's gain. So then back in our passage, Paul said it is very much better. And notice what I touched on earlier. Notice Paul's confidence as we finish up. He says in verse 25, "And convinced of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith." We already looked at that. But even though he's hard-pressed, that the outcome could be death or life, somehow God has given him insight that he's going to remain. I'm convinced. And that's going to be for their progress and joy in the faith. That's living is Christ. It's for others. It's for serving Christ. It's for him. It's for his will. His will in my life. His will with my family. His will at my work. His will at church. His will in my interactions. His will. I live for him. And notice verse 26, "So that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you." And again, I shared this earlier. It's a hard verse to translate. The New King James puts the word rejoicing in there. It's not a good translation. It means boast. "So that your boasting or exaltation may abound in Christ." I'm confident that I'm going to continue for your joy and progress in the faith. So that you're going to exalt Jesus when I come. When I come, you're going to give him the praise. You're going to give him the glory. It's that Christ is glorified. It's all about Christ being magnified. Let me ask you this. Is Christ magnified in your attitude towards the things I've mentioned probably 6 or 7 times right now? Your marriage, raising your kids, your work, your serving at church, your interactions with non-believers? Do you want Christ to be magnified? So how do we find joy in the midst of trials? In a nutshell, we need to live fully for Christ. Trusting in him, relying on him, walking with him, knowing him better, and serving him. Are you serving him? To remain on today, will that mean fruitful labor? To remain on this week, will that remain fruitful labor for you? Is it going to be fruitful? Because you abide in Christ and let him work out in all those things I've mentioned. You see, to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, talk to me a little bit about how to live fully for Christ. Does this mean we have to take a vow of poverty, or I need to read my Bible all day long? Help me get this into perspective.
Well, Dave, you don't have to take a vow of poverty or spend your entire waking hours praying and reading the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong. Being in the Word all day long is a good thing. But if your time in the Word does not grow you closer to the God of the Word, that time is worthless. It's not external activity that draws us closer to Christ. It's a yielded heart, willing to be convicted over sin, corrected and trained by Christ through his word. You know, Dave, living for Christ and Christ alone starts with a heart attitude. And when we're surrendered fully to Christ, we'll see things his way through his word. It's at that point we'll begin to see our behaviors and actions change. As Paul would tell the Romans, when we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, by the word of God, we will prove or then demonstrate what God's will is for our lives.
You know, if you want to be closer to Christ, seek him through his word, depend on him, rely on him, trust him, yield to him, and obey what he said. So as a true believer, the first step towards living for Christ and Christ alone is to get to know him through his word. If you'll do that, your life will be changed and you will begin to live the Christian life as God intended it to be lived.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.